Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message.
The first scripture reading for today is from Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 to 11. But Jonah went out from the city and sat down east of the city. There he made himself a hut and sat under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a shrub, and it grew up over Jonah, providing shade for his head and saving him from his misery. Jonah was very happy about the shrub, but God provided a worm the next day at dawn, and it attacked the shrub so that it died. Then as the sun rose, God provided a dry east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint. He begged that he might die, saying, "It's better for me to die than to live." God said to Jonah, "Is your anger about the shrub a good thing?" Jonah said, "Yes, my anger is good, even to the point of death." But the Lord said, "You pitied the shrub for which you didn't work and which you didn't raise. It grew in a night and perished in a night. Yet for my part, can't I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The second reading is from Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. "I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate but climbs over the wall is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice." Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again, "I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to kill, to steal, and destroy. I came so that they could have life, indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest." May God bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving word.
Amen. If you notice in your bulletin that some of the songs that are chosen are chosen for the years that they were written. And so He Touched Me. It was written in 1963, certainly part of the boomer generation. So I ask that you would pray with me this morning. Gracious and loving God, we come striving to hear your word. And so God, speak now. Speak to our hearts and to our souls. And God, I ask that the words that I speak would no longer be my own, but that they would be your words for your people. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. It's our second week of this series about different generations. And I have to say it's pretty interesting. I'm super excited about some of the conversations that I've heard that are taking place during maybe some of our meetings or even on phone calls or social media sites. If you haven't taken part in these conversations, I encourage you to just dive right in. and talk with other people from your generation, and then expand your circle and talk to people from other generations. This is the way we will learn about each other and understand where we are coming from. Well, last week I gave you some statistics, including the dates for each of the generations that we're talking about. And so just as a quick reminder, here they are. So the traditionalists were actually kind of the combination of the greatest generation and the silent generation. We basically say those were anyone born 1945 and before. The baby boomers, which we're talking about today, are from 1946 to 1964. Generation X, 65 to 1980. Millennials, 81 to 2001. And Gen Z, beginning at 2002. And now I also wanted to remind you that that what we've discussed today are generations as a whole, and I guess you could call these stereotypes. I'm not talking to each individual. There's many differences within these generations, and so I'm hoping to bring a few things to you, but I also realize by a message from my technical director that I failed to do something. I failed to actually show you. I put a video together, and then I didn't show it to you. And so here's kind of the intro video for our series or our sermon today. So maybe that reminded you of some things. Maybe like last week, you got a song stuck in your head that will now carry you throughout this day. Either of the two, but I'm pretty sure I know which one you're going to be thinking about for a little while. And I heard some of you whistling right along with it. So, so with this series, I'm hoping to bring out some of the strengths, some of the temptations, and some of the beliefs of each generation. And so, as I said before, these are kind of generalities, so don't take it that all of these words hold true for all of you, especially for those of you who consider yourself boomers. They might, but maybe they won't. And so last week I also mentioned that I know that we all carry a certain amount of baggage with us when we start to think about different generations. We have those feelings of how right we are and how wrong the other people are. Remember that I mentioned phrases like, I don't know about kids these days, and when I was your age. I do remember seeing a meme that was just a social media post that was just put out there about somebody walking up the side of a mountain in the snow. I think it was probably Mount Everest, and they said, we finally found the mountain or the way that our parents and grandparents walked to school each day. That would be those. But then we also have, thinking of the other side, we also have the parents just don't understand, and we live in different times. Why won't you let me make my own decisions? So but remember that also that the church is not, nor should it be, society. Differences should not divide us. They should be celebrated within this kingdom of God. And if you remember, I told you that Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 tells us, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I wonder if you remember the subtitle to that book that I mentioned. Christianity isn't dying, millennials aren't the problem, and the future is bright. So one thing I didn't mention, and it'll probably help us in our understanding this week, is the sheer number of people that are in these particular generations. And so here's some numbers for you. If you wanted to jot them down, that's great, but I'll try to remind you about these later. Traditionalists, 75 million. In the traditionalist generation. Baby boomers, 80 million. Gen X, 46 million. Millennials, 82 million. And Gen Z, 78 million. So keep this in mind as we dig a little deeper this morning. So out of all the generations we're studying for this series, baby boomers are probably the most optimistic. I mean, think about it. Maybe I should ask, I asked last week, you know, how many consider yourself a baby boomer? Were you born in those years? Okay, all right. You grew up in a time where World War II was over and the economic outlook was wonderful. It seemed like the sky was the limit. And the traditionalists wanted their kids to have everything. They told them that they were special and laid the groundwork for a generation of rebellion. When we really think about it, the traditionalists were the ones with huge dreams of what the world could be. The American dream began as everyone went back to work and people hoped for all that they never had while growing up. And they passed this on to their kids. Now, we might not all agree with this, but it very well may be that traditionalists were the most rebellious generation ever. It was, however, a different time, and the world seemed oh so small. So what shaped the boomer generation? What events do they remember even to this day? And I guess the biggest one, and I could probably ask you what you were doing and where you were on the day that you heard that JFK was assassinated. And many of you, if not all of you, remember exactly what you were doing when you heard the news, where you were, what was going on. But that wasn't all. You lived through the Vietnam War, Apollo 11 landing, the civil rights movement, and even the sexual revolution. These are just a sample of the events that took place while the boomers were growing up. And all of these events played a part in shaping who this generation is. One of the biggest pieces, as I said before, is the sheer number of baby boomers, hence their name. Remember when I told you that there were approximately 80 million boomers in this generation? That was the biggest generation which allowed them to have such a strong voice in society, and they still do. We'll talk actually about this in a couple of weeks as we start looking at some of the other generations too and the numbers there. But part of the strain between the generations comes from the fact that the millennials have passed the boomers in number with 82 million. And this is going to play out as time goes on. Well, with these huge numbers, the boomers had to be competitive. They had to be the best. Work harder than others, and always strive in their careers. I guess we could say that this generation had more of a work-to-live attitude, whereas the millennials see it more like a live-to-work. The shift is seismic. Their lives were all about affluence. No more would they just try to survive through the Depression. This was the American dream. TV made huge strides in programming, and I guess you could call this the time of the birth of the sitcom. From I Love Lucy, Mary Tyler Moore, to Leave It to Beaver, Gilligan's Island, and the Andy Griffith Show. sitcoms were flying across the airwaves. And of course, for all of us that remember, there were only three channels at the time. No recording was allowed, just watching them as they came on. And if the president was on, he was on all three channels. There was no getting away from that speech. Also, maybe you remember this. You remember the time when the TV would shut off at midnight? Yeah. It's usually what the national anthem would play, the Air Force, you'd have the planes flying over, and then all of a sudden either black and white or colored stripes with a tone, and then nothing. Of course, that was until morning when the programming would start back up again. Well, so I interviewed one of our baby boomers, and I asked similar questions that I did of Dan last week. And so I want you to hear what Lisa Eby has to say about her thoughts on the church and her relationship with Jesus Christ. And so here's Lisa's words.
The church is a building in which relationships are built, relationships with God, with Christ. Actually, those relationships, in my estimation, were built a long time ago. They were built when I first started going to church, when my parents took me to, and Peg Lowe's was my first teacher, my first Sunday school teacher and nursery school teacher. So those relationships were built long before now. They're nurtured now. The months that we've been not being able to go to church have been trying, not to my belief or my spirituality, but in the fact that I don't have people to worship with, because that is half of what church is going to church is about, to me. It's the relationships beyond Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. It means everything in the world to me to follow Jesus Christ. I may not be the best follower. I thank Him. I thank the Lord and God daily for patience, mercy, understanding, because I know I am not the best follower. And I'm also not the most spiritual person that there is. And I guess it's all in the relationship you have, whether you're comfortable with the relationship, whether you feel the relationship needs to grow. I have kind of an inferiority complex when it comes to my spirituality. I look at people who seem to be much more spiritual than I. I have a problem understanding the Bible. So a lot of times you might see me lean over and talk to Mary during a service. I'm not necessarily being rude. I may very well be asking 90% of the time her a question, because she knows the Bible pretty well. And so I may lean over and ask for an explanation, or I don't recall that name, or, well, who's so-and-so then? That kind of thing. I have a deep relationship, in my estimation, with our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, but I don't feel that my relationship is as good as some others, perhaps, because of their following, because of how they read the Bible, because of how it seems to be with them 24/7, every second of the day.
Remember some of her words. They'll help us as we talk about a few things. So there's two things that I want to focus on with the baby boomer generation, and these can be viewed as both strengths and temptations: hyper-individualism and psychology. Whereas the traditionalists were focused on sacrifice and things of the greater community, boomers shifted their focus to self. It was about self-expression, self-exploration, personal satisfaction. I mean, there's a reason that in some respects the boomers are considered the me generation. They strived for higher education, approval and advancement at work, as well as putting an emphasis on personal experiences. We might notice some of these same attributes in coming in generations where those generations that are actually raised by boomers. And this is not all bad. If we look at the life of the church, a huge shift came in a rethinking of the church's purpose. And you might have heard that in Lisa's interview. The baby boomer generation moved God closer. The shift was seen as a change from religion to a relationship. The focus was on your individual relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you remember the Jesus movement from the 60s and 70s. This is where this came from, and that is a good thing. People were searching for something deeper. They wanted to have this relationship more than just a list of things that the church wants us to do or to be. However, the boomers went from a feeling of self and individualism to hyper-individualism. And this may be where some of the problems arose. We begin to see more church hopping, as boomers felt like worship style wasn't to their liking. Their pastor maybe wasn't giving a relevant sermon to what they were going through, or they didn't feel spiritually happy. Or maybe they felt like they weren't being fed. This belief led to what we might call spiritual consumerism. It was all about the production, all about what they felt like they could get from a worship service instead of asking, "What can I offer?" I think we can all say that we may have seen this in the communities around us, in family, or maybe even in our church. This is kind of why I brought up Jonah this morning. I mean, it's a story many of us know pretty well. God calls Jonah to go to this place called Nineveh and preach to the people, asking them to repent. Of course, he doesn't want to go because he doesn't like them. He doesn't want God to save them. It'd be better if God would just smite them off the earth. That would make Jonah happy. But we know the story. Jonah rebels because of this hyper-individualistic thinking. He gets thrown off a boat because of a storm. God sends a big fish to swallow him up. He finally gets it. The fish spits him out up on land, probably smelling pretty bad. Goes to Nineveh and tells the people what God's message is. The king hears about it, tells the people to repent, and God saves them. Yay! Jonah must have been so excited. I mean, really, he wasn't. He finds a place outside of town to go and sulk. God gives him a plant for shade and then takes it away. What more? Jonah is asking. No answer, just a question from God. Should I not pity the city of Nineveh? Oh, yes, and all of their animals. Actually, my translation says cattle, so I guess beef is what's for dinner after all. But that's how the book ends. That's it. But you can see the hyper-individualistic thinking of Jonah. He didn't like the people, he didn't want them saved, and therefore, he didn't want to deliver the message. When our individual thoughts get in the way of God's design, we run into problems. And I certainly hope there isn't a fish that big in my future. The other theme, however, that comes from this generation comes in the shift from theology, or the study of God, to psychology. And this is not all bad. I believe this is the beginning of the views we have today, especially around mental health. You see, boomers were 9 times more likely to seek psychological help than their parents, the traditionalists. I mean, the traditionalists would have just stuck it out, not wanting others to know about their problems. This maybe is one of the reasons why PTSD has surged in the military. Those from World War II, the Korean War, or maybe the Vietnam War were far less likely to mention problems that they were going through. I remember my grandfather would never really talk about war stories. That was in the past. Leave them there. The shift to psychology helped in our understanding of these issues, which also helped in our ability to treat them. However, we need both theology and psychology. If it's just the psychology part without God, then it's just all analysis. God offers insight through his word, which is wisdom beyond our human understanding. The way the boomers viewed Christianity helped by asking the deep questions around how to apply scripture to our everyday lives. Boomers really focused on the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, that life that we're hearing about in our gospel lesson this morning. That verse 10 tells us, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is what the boomers were looking for, the abundant life. Sure, some of it may have already been the abundant life, but I think they started a really good thing. Well, as I did last week in my interview with Dan, I asked Lisa also about other generations. I wanted you to hear what she has to say about those other generations. And so I've got another video for you. It's a little bit longer, but she's got some really good words. So go ahead and play that other video.
I think that the traditionalists had nothing, and so what they had, they saved. I think that that got passed down to the boomer generation, and the boomer generation saved all of that, and then they got more because then they started having money to buy things for themselves. Now, I realize I'm all talking about material things here. I'll get to something else in a second. Then came another group. The Gen Xers is next, and the Gen Xers are a little less saving and buying and now seem to be going... we've got to correct some things that we were doing before. So now, no thank you. And then you have my son's generation, which is the millennials, who I feel so sorry for. Now, as long as they aren't picking up other bad habits besides this hoarding issue, that'd be good. You know, if they are picking up just like I did, from the traditionalists, a love of God and country. If they are picking up from my generation, the fact that we really need to look beyond what we may have been taught growing up about other people, about other generations, about all different kinds of things, and look past that and open our eyes to what is going on now. Let me just go one step further. I think the millennials have taken that further, and they have done a better job than we have environmentally, in relating to other people who are different than you. They are not savers. They are also not wasters. I think that they're becoming very environmentally conscious, and thank goodness for that. I also think that they are much more aware and teaching their children about differences in people being not bad things. I think Gen Z is going to have it all together. I really do. I think Gen Z has learned something now from a multitude of eras, of generations. They're more active. They're more socially active. They can see what's right and wrong a lot better than I think we could. And I just think that I'm happy that the world is coming more to this, and that that generation hopefully will continue to progress. I would say to the traditionalists, don't leave this world without opening your eyes just a little further. Accept change. Understand why the change occurred and is occurring. Talk to those people and talk to the younger generations and find out why they have felt that way about different things. The same thing for the boomers. It's not too late to open your eyes, to change, make changes that need to be changed, to accept kindness, to understand that it's really important not just to be kind to people outside your own walls, your own home, but you need to have that kindness inside your home as well. You need to be nice to each other. Generations beyond, I would ask that you look back and find out, try to understand better why the generations prior to you and in your own family, acquaintances, good friends, people that you grew up with who are family members not by blood, ask them questions. You're asking me these questions and I'm being open about them. I'm sure there are other people who would maybe have never even been asked before, you know, why did you believe this? Or why do you believe this? Whether it be about God or the world views or what's happening in your own community, ask. Understand how it got to where it got so that you can better make changes or keep the things that maybe shouldn't go away as a part of making the world better. And keep healthy. Younger generations, don't sit. Get up and move and stay healthy. Don't stop moving, mentally or physically.
So I really got to thank Lisa for being as open and honest as she was in some of her sharing. It's really good to hear her even talk about in the first half of the interview, to hear her be critical of herself, about her relationship with Jesus Christ, and about how she feels she has this deep relationship, but that there are times when she doesn't understand part of the Bible. Because I don't think she is alone in that. A lot of you can probably relate to her. But I also hope that you truly listen to her comments to other generations, even to her own generation. They're wise words for us, wise words to live by. And so next week we dive into another generation. Next week we dive into the Gen Xers. That would be my generation. But I hope that as we travel this journey, that you can see correlations between generations. You can see the similarities as well as the differences. You can see why things have progressed or shaped themselves the way they did. And I hope that you can hear God's message being spoken to each one of those generations with different words of wisdom that we are receiving. Words of grace. Words of openness, words of sharing, and maybe words of learning from each other. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we have heard you speak. We hear you speak through Scripture, the stories of Jonah, and Jesus' words for us. But God, we also hear you speak through words from your people. God, as Lisa shares her story, as she shares her thoughts, God, we know that your wisdom is found there. And so allow us to truly continue to listen to others and to listen to you. Discern your call for us. Discern your call for this church. God, we are blessed. We're blessed by the many different gifts that you give us, especially in the differences in our generations as we learn from them. So God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so now, as we get ready to go forth from this place, just a couple of quick things. I remind you once again that the ushers will dismiss you. Just make sure that as you go about some fellowship time that you do that outside, maintaining your distance. Also encourage for those of you who are watching at home. Now, I know that I've not been able to get on the fellowship time, which is the Zoom meeting, and there's a reason for that, because if I log in and start the fellowship time on my computer, when I shut my computer off to go home from here, I cut off the meeting for everybody else. But I do encourage all of you, if you want to go and find that, it's on the website, or it's in that weekly e-news. You can click on the Zoom link to go to our fellowship time. Just a time to gather on a Zoom meeting and have a conversation with someone and maybe just see a friendly face or two. So I encourage you to do that here after worship. You can get on actually at any time as soon as worship is over. You don't have to wait until 10:30. And so now we go forth from this place or your living room or dining room, wherever you're at watching worship this morning. But we also go knowing that the love of God and that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with us. And it goes with us always. Amen.